A very good evening to you. Welcome along to another Sweet and Swing here on Max Radio. I'm Howard Kane. Friday night, alternating with Jumping In, of course. A pleasure to have your company. What have we got? How about some Harry Hayes and his band? Celebrating the sunshine, when we see it, with Edmundo Ross. Some piano power, bit of Petula Clark. But to start off, it's just night and day. Do it. Blow off a few cobwebs, if indeed you've got any on you. Larry Adler, of course, unmistakable, I would say, on the harmonica, or mouth organ, as I always think of it. I think it should be called the harmonica. Strictly speaking, Night and Day, and then a quick segue into Tiger Rag. An amazing character, and he had his own TV show at one stage, didn't he? He was hugely popular at his peak, and was born in 1914. And played, well, you name it, really. He had all sorts. He had music specially written for him. Gershwin, Ralph Vaughan Williams, Malcolm and Arnold, Danius Milo, Arthur Benjamin. They were all there. They were all playing back in the day. I always remember him, and I don't know whether you remember this. if you think back to the old Parky, Parkinson, there was a wonderful, wonderful evening when he was on Larry Adler, and it was with Isaac Perlman on the violin, and the pair of them played Summertime, I think, just a duet, violin, impromptu. Well, I don't know, I'm saying impromptu, it looked it. And it was absolutely gorgeous. Not a fan, it turns out, of the Beatles. I don't ask me why, and sadly Larry's no longer with us, so we can't ask him. But he was in an interview in the 60s, he was asked what he thought of the Beatles, and he said, well, I think Lennon and McCartney have very little, he said, musical talent. Seems a little harsh, doesn't it? A little harsh. And the other wonderful piece of useless information about him is that he was great friends, again, you wouldn't put these two together, with Peter Stringfellow, the club owner. And the last 10 years of his life, Larry's birthday was held in Peter Stringfellow's nightclub. I tell you, you get it all on Sweet and Swing. Magnolia. I don't know whether that's the flower or the paint. Ubiquitous at one stage, wasn't it? Harry Hayes and his band. Volume 2. I must see if I've got Volume 1 lurking around in the archive somewhere. I like to think I have, if the old maestro had got them organised. He probably did, but then they got disorganised later on. But Harry Hayes and his band, Volume 2, 1946 to 1947. Highly respected. Harry Hayes, and it's got some quotes actually on the back of the CD here. Ronnie Scott, Harry was the absolute governor. Don Lusher, the Rolls Royce of the saxophone. Digby Fairweather, a legendary virtuoso. Benny Green, well, Harry taught me how to play, and on it goes. An immaculate musician, says Humphrey Littleton. A living legend, says Jim Goldberg. One of the greatest players, says Alan Dell. Blah, blah. On and on it goes. He was held in such high esteem, and yet, as we say so often in this programme, how many people remember Harry Hayes now? I suspect not that many, outside of obviously our happy band of Sweet and Swing listeners and big band enthusiasts. It's not a name, I mean, Humphrey Lyttelton, I think, maybe because he crossed over to TV work and his cartoon work and such like, fronting shows on Radio 4, the name might be quite well known. But Harry Hayes, probably not, I must admit. He won a scholarship at the age of 11, and his father rewarded him with a saxophone for that and a book tutor. And he took to it like a duck to water, or a man to a saxophone, I don't know. By 16, from a starting point of that's 5 years, he had his first professional engagement, and that's not bad going, is it, at the Regent Dance Hall in Brighton. And by 17, he was working in the Kit Kat Club in Piccadilly. Always fancy going to the Kit Kat Club. Can't even say it. Kit Kat Club, not the biscuit, in Piccadilly. There's a sort of false one knocking around now, or a pseudo Kit Kat Club, I think, or a recreation Kit Kat Club you can go to. But the original would have been good, wouldn't it? Can't be bad. And we've got a great selection of piano power here. 20 jazz piano classics. And they don't get more classic than Jelly Roll Morton and King Porter Stomp. Thank you.
girl in calico down in Santa Fe. Used to be her Sunday beau till I rode away. Do I want her? Do I want her love? Yes, sirree. Will I win her? Will I win her love? Wait and see. And with a rodeo, go from town to town. See most every kind of gal, every kind of gown. But who made my heart sing? Yippee-i, yippee-o, my little gal in calico.
Very nice too. A Gal in Calico, Alan Dean with Ambrose and the Boys. And before that, the inimitable Jelly Roll Morton with a great version of King Porter Stomp. It sounds actually quite modern, that still, doesn't it, I think? To these ears, at least, in any case. And all the great nicknames they have, isn't there? All these, so many people. There's one coming up in a moment, Spike. And Jelly Roll, well, modesty forbids me to tell you how Jelly Roll got his nickname. His real name was Ferdinand, of course, but he was always known as Jelly Roll. And if you want to find out why he was called Jelly Roll, I suggest you go onto your iPad now and take a look. It makes me chuckle, but no, I won't mention it now. Better not. It's only a Friday evening. Not that late yet, is it? You might know, in case you're probably sniggering. And if you're not, and you're listening onto your smart speaker or your iPad, well, you could check it out as I talk and waffle. Why not? Either way, he was a great player. Might have something to do with brothels. I'll leave it there. Right, and we're going. This next character. This is something very different. I guess you love it or hate it to a large degree. And that's the same way with parodies, then as now. People still parody all sorts of things, don't they? And no one parodied the sort of swing and big band era better than Spike Jones and his City Slickers. And Spike is quite here. I can tell you why Spike was called Spike. It's no problem with that at all. And that he was a really skinny kid, apparently. His real name was Lindley Armstrong Jones, born over in California. And when he was a kid, he was really, really skinny and whatever. And he was given the nickname Spike for being so thin that he was compared to a railroad spike. Yeah, well, that's the way it goes, isn't it, with kids? Yeah, you don't really care. And sometimes they stick and sometimes they don't. Sometimes you're called Spike for a couple of years and then it's gone. And other times, in his case, he's called Spike until he died. Sadly, quite young, about 50-odd something, when Spike died. However, he was a wonderful parodist. He was great. Parodist? Is that the right word? Parody maker of the sort of swing and big band arrangements at the time. As I say, you either love it or hate it. The old maestro had an LP that I remember him playing. I used to think it was great when I was a kid because it's full of claps and whistles and farty noises and bangs and cowbells and pots and pans and the whole kitchen sink, quite literally, as well as an orchestra or a band who could clearly play. They weren't just messing around. They could play, but they were deliberately taking the Michael out of the music and out of themselves. I chuckled quite a bit at the time, I must admit, and I still find it's really well arranged, albeit it is bonkers. I couldn't find the LP. I think maybe my brother's got it. But I did find a cassette. A cassette, Grandad. Yes, a compact cassette, son. One of those little things that Philips invented in the late 1950s or mid-60s. Still going. Back in fashion, I think, like vinyl these days. So I'm told, son. Anyway, I found a cassette, and we still have a cassette player here. So I'm going to check it out and see if it works. Spike Jonze and the City Slickers. The Wacky World of Spike Jonze. Limited edition recordings, RCA cassette. And this is his version of Cocktails for Two. Push the button, Max. Let's hope it works.
To be given the right to be carefree and gay once again. No longer slinking, respectably drinking like civilized ladies and men. Secluded rendezvous that overlooks the avenue. We're somewhat sharing a delight, chat, this and that, and cocktails for two, as we enjoy a cigarette to some exquisite chansonnette. Two hands are sure to slyly meet beneath a serviette with cocktails for two. My head may go my heart will be obedient with intoxicating kisses for the principal ingredient. Most any afternoon at 5, we'll be so glad we're both alive. Then maybe fortune will complete the plan that all began with cocktails for two.
You gotta like it, really. Well, you don't have to like it. You might have run screaming from your wireless. Who knows? I won't do it every single week, but you know what? I might keep that around and play the odd track. It does still make me chuckle, and it's well arranged. It's just bonkers, but it's well arranged, and they could all play, which is what I really liked about it. And in essence, he just got bored. He was playing a lot of the music, so he'd sort of started out playing sort of straight music, got his first set of drums when he was just a child, and played in bands that he formed himself. His first band just called Spike Jonze and his Five Tacks. And then, which might have started him on the rocky road to Wacky Ruin, a railroad restaurant chef taught him how to use pots and pans and forks and knives and spoons as musical instruments. And clearly that appealed to him. And he frequently then played in theatre pit orchestras using standard kits and various bits and pieces, and joined Victor Young in the 1930s and appeared on various programmes, including Bing Crosby's Kraft Music Hall. But he got bored just playing the same stuff over and over again, and he found some other like-minded musicians who were very competent but just getting a bit naffed off with playing the same things, and they started playing parodies of standard songs just for the hell of it, really, because they enjoyed it. And the musicians wanted their wives to share their enjoyment, so they recorded their weekly performances, and one of these recordings made its way into the hands of an RCA Victory executive who offered them a recording contract, much to their surprise, I think. And one of the City Slickers early recordings for the label was a Del Porter arrangement of Der Fuhrer's Face. Yes, I think that's on that album as well. And the record success inspired Jones to become the band's leader. And he initially thought the popularity the record brought them would fade. However, it didn't. Audiences kept asking for more, so they carried on working on more comic arrangements. He was also, by the way, the percussionist, Spike Jones, for the John Scott Trotter Orchestra, which played on Bing Crosby's first ever recording of, yes, you've guessed it, White Christmas. Who was doing the percussion? The same man you've just heard. Doesn't bear thinking about, does it?
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Great arrangement. Great playing there with Bob Brookmeyer and friends from the album just called Brookmeyer, recorded in the early 1950s. That was Nature Boy. Great track, I must admit, and a lovely tune and beautifully done there with lovely arrangements by, I think, Al Cohn, the wonderful sax player. I did see him many years ago playing in the Pizza Express in London. Al Cohn's arrangement there of Nature Boy, as it's remarked in the notes, a study in reflective sadness. Well, yeah, I suppose it is sort of slightly wistful, I would say, rather than sad, but there we go. It plays up to the lower portion of the sound spectrum, and I agree there. Features Bob on trombone and piano. Yeah, multi-talented he. Al Cohn, actually, on clarinet there. Joe Singer on French horn. And the depth, as it says, that is John Butterfield on tuba. Certainly does bring a lovely bassy sound to it. I like that. Very nice. We've been dipping in and out that one for ages because I just sort of like some of the music on that. Very nice. Before that, another little twofer. We had Harlem Nocturne, another great tune by Les Brown. Les Brown and his band of renown. Of course it was. Of course it was. You're listening to Sweet and Swing with myself, H. Lovely to have your company. Don't forget, any thoughts? And I have had a couple of nice contacts of late. And I think Paul, I think it was, had a request. We'll get round to that. We will get round to it. There was a request, I think, from Jimmy McGriff on the organ playing Round Midnight. You know what? That sounds like a good enough call. We can sort that one out, I think. Why not? And, yeah, a couple of nice thoughts. But if you've got anything to say, let me know. HowardCain@manxradio.com. That's C-A-I-N-E. HowardCain@manxradio.com. Any requests? Any bouquets? Very welcome. Brickbats? Not so welcome, but we'll see what we can do. I did have a brick bat about someone struggling with the podcast the other day. I'll try and sort that out as well. It could be beyond my technical knowledge, but I'll find someone techie who will be able to answer it if I can't. They should all be there. And, yeah, so if you want a brick bat, do it. Bouquet's always more welcome. Requests always very welcome. Anything you'd like to hear, or a play you haven't heard for a long time, or a particular piece of music, or a particular composer, or particular band leader. We'll see what we can do. And the Faraway Club, if you're listening in foreign climes, so, you know, Sydney, or Botswana, or Greenland, or America, give us a shout. Always delighted to hear from you. Give you a mention. Name a track if you like as well. And we'd, it's always nice to hear, because people are listening all over the place these days. Quite rightly, too. Someone was listening, it was Belgium, I think. Yeah, someone listening in Brussels. I think that was the gentleman who was saying that he was having trouble with the podcast. We will look into that, I promise you. But yeah, always lovely to hear from you. Or you can put pen to paper, of course. Howard Cain, Manx Radio, Sweet and Swing. And that's Manx Radio Broadcasting House, which is on the top of Douglas Head. Douglas Head. In Douglas. In the Isle of Man, of course. IM15. BW. Now that we did promise you a bit of sunshine, Lord knows we've needed it this summer. So what about Edmundo Ross? It can't get sunnier than that. We're not going to the Isle of Man. Somewhere it might be a little bit nicer. Who knows? The Isle of Capri. cha-cha-cha, I think we should say at the end of that. It was a cha-cha-cha, and unusually, most of the time, Edmundo would be singing, but not that one, just doing percussion and playing along. Very good indeed. The Isle of Capri. Well, we're going to stay island-wide, or island-wise, because we're going to head to Mallorca. This is one that was lurking around, actually fairly recent, I think, from our friends at Avid, Petula Clark. Petula Clark, my goodness. Five classic albums on two CDs. They must have been fairly short albums. And I thought, yeah, well, we'll stay island-based. So why don't we go with Petula? So we leave Edmundo in the Isle of Capri and find Petula in Mallorca.
Just off the coast of Spain, there lies a lover's lane, and it's known as Mallorca, Isle of Love. There is no place on earth with gaiety and mirth like you find on Mallorca, Isle of Love. There's romance in the air, you breathe it everywhere. It's a part of Mallorca, Isle of Love. So very young, when native songs are sung in the voice of Mallorca, Isle of Love. Their wealth is meant for sharing, and when two lovers meet, they never think it daring to kiss right on the street. Their love is made by moonlight, or when the day is new, and even in the sunlight, it's still the thing to do. There's laughter on each face, the carefree human race. That's the charm of Mallorca, Isle of Love. And once you've known its spell, you'll never say farewell, 'cause your heart's in Mallorca, Isle of Love. Meet, they never think it's daring to kiss right on the street. Their love is made by moonlight, or when the day is new, and even in the sunlight, ooh, it's still the thing to do. There's laughter on each face, a carefree human race. That's the charm of Mallorca, Isle of Love. Once you've known its spell, you'll never say farewell, 'cause your heart's in Mallorca, Isle of Love.
It was all right, though, wasn't it? I wasn't quite too sure what to expect from Petula Clark. I haven't heard her for a long time, but actually fits in rather nicely on the sweet side of Sweet and Swing, doesn't it? Nice voice, lovely and clear as always, and a nice little number. And I do like the boom on the kettle drum, I think that is, isn't it? On the timpani, boom, a tuned drum of some kind. Very nice. We'll keep that one in the back, shall we? Why not? Why not? I think that fits in nicely enough. Now, a bit of fortitude and patience. Lord knows, again, you need it listening to this programme sometimes. I certainly need it putting it together. I thought we'd have a little bit of Geraldo and his orchestra. I haven't had Geraldo around for a while, have we? And this indeed is what he's got. I don't have much of it, but fortunately, Geraldo has it in spades. Fortitude and patience. Or in actual fact, patience and fortitude.
Thank you. too, and things will come your way. When you have solitude, can make life dull and crude, patience and fortitude, and things will come your way. Couldn't wait for the egg to hatch, used to burn both ends of the match. Couldn't wait for the cake to bake, but now I can see it's a big mistake. Patience and fortitude, patience and fortitude, patience and fortitude, and things will come your way. Never wear away the rock with patient fortitude. Rust will spoil the strongest lock with patient fortitude. Black stone wears away the knife with patient fortitude. Name of life to lag and wife, have patient fortitude.
Patience and fortitude. Yeah, I don't have a great deal of it, but fortunately, someone does, and that was Geraldo and his orchestra with, on vocals, you may or may not have recognised, Carol Carr. It was her big sister, Dorothy Carlos, who first recommended Betty, as she was then, to Jack Payne. Didn't have any training as a vocalist as such, but did have a good voice, as I'm sure you recognise there, and she successfully auditioned and never looked back and moved on to Geraldo when she was still in her teens. She started singing with Geraldo and became a great favourite on both radio and television, and had a great gift to read and sing a new tune with virtually no rehearsal. So while she was untrained, she was an excellent sight singer. A God-given gift, I think, that one. And my word, it'd make a very, very useful indeed to come in, look at an arrangement and just sing it straight off. Would make her, yes. I mean, she had the looks, she had the voice, and she could sight sing like that as well. Would make her very, very much in demand. And she was the first singer, if you remember, if you cast your mind back, if you can, to appear after the war on television. Appeared with lots of different bands, Mantovani and Sid Lawrence, and later on, teamed up for a second time with Geraldo. And also, a bit later on, you might remember, again, she, in her own time, at her peak, had her own television programmes during the 50s. Also entertained the troops out in Korea, I understand. Wonderful stuff. Great music as well. Right, a little bit of Eddie Thompson and his trio to finish off.
Thank you.
that's about all we've got time for this week. Back again, of course, after jumping in. Look after yourselves, and I'll see you then. Cheerio.